Ephesians 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. The word E Pluribus Unum appears on the Great Seal of the United States. Until 1956, E Pluribus Unum was the unofficial motto of the United States. In 1956, the official motto of the United States became In God We Trust. E Pluribus Unum, while not the official motto of our nation, still appears on our Great Seal and on other currencies and documents that is produced by our government. E Pluribus Unum is a Latin phrase which means out of many, one, or one from the many. This phrase pictures the United States as a melting pot. It envisions our nation as one nation made up of many individuals. While there is diversity and division among the people that make up the United States of America, at the end of the day, we are all still Americans, regardless of the country of our origin, the color of our skin, the type of politics we embrace, or where we stand on many social issues. We are one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The United States is a unity that's made possible by and in spite of great diversity. I want you to see that the phrase out of many one could also be applied to the church. Paul has just told us that we are one in the Lord, that we stand together as one in the Lord. We are in the same body. We are indwelled by the same Spirit. We share the same hope. We serve the same Lord. We believe the same faith. We have experienced the same baptism. And we are children of the same Heavenly Father, if you be a child of God. As I mentioned when I preached from verses 4 to 6, we are made one through our relationship to the members of the Trinity. The same Spirit lives in each of us. The same Lord died to save each of us. The same God has saved us and brought us into His family. We are one in Him. Yet, as the first word of verse 7 points out, we may be one, but we are still many. Look at the word but at the beginning of verse 7. The word but in this verse is more than a simple conjunction. It literally means in spite of that. In spite of that. Or on the other hand, in spite of the fact of all the diversity. In spite of that, the idea is that while we may be united in Christ, we are still expected to be different people. We're expected to be individuals for the glory of God. We may be commanded to do everything in our power to maintain the unity of the body of Christ, as we saw in verses 2 and 3. Let me remind you, verse 3. Of Ephesians 4, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're commanded to maintain the unity, but at the same time, we're to celebrate. We're to celebrate the diversity that makes our unity possible. Against the backdrop of our unity in Christ, I want to draw our attention to our diversity. We saw our unity. Now we'll see our diversity. We are all different. We're all different one from the other. Yet it is our differences that make unity within the body of Christ such a marvelous wonder to behold. In fact, it's our diversity that actually makes our unity possible. Let me begin to look at a few truths that is contained in our text. Out of many, one. I want you to see that while you are part of the body of Christ, you have been uniquely gifted to save the Lord. Each and every one of us. You are a member of the body of Christ. You are different from every other member in the body. Yet you are special. And God wants you to use you, to use your uniqueness to serve the whole body of Christ, so that it may reach its fullest potential for the glory of God. Paul uses an illustration of the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and we are the body parts. We're the toes, we're the fingers, we're the elbows, we're the shoulders, we're the legs, we're the arms, we're the chest, we're the back. Each and every one of us are necessary. Everyone. There's no exclusion. There's no exclusion because, brothers and sisters, every one of us are part of a royal priesthood, part of a holy nation. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 tells us, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, so that you, brother and sister that's listening, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but you have now obtained mercy. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a set apart nation, a nation full of saints. The people of God throughout the world are part of a holy nation, a set apart nation, part of a royal priesthood, his own special people. And we've been created. We've been created to be ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us is special, is unique, and is necessary to serve the body of Christ. Without you, we cannot reach our fullest potential for the glory of God. No matter how inferior that you would feel about yourself, how ungifted that you would feel about yourself, that is not what the scripture teaches. Our unity as believers finds its root in the work of God in our lives. As he develops us and he grows us, he continually reveals himself to us. And as he does, he allows us to stand as one in the Lord. However, it is also the Lord's work in us that magnifies our differences. Just as surely as our unity has its root in him, so does our diversity. We have our unity and we have our diversity. Look at verse 7 of Ephesians 4. "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." The grace of God. Our diversity finds its root in the grace of God. The word grace is a common word in the New Testament. It refers to undeserved favor or a gift. We often think of grace in the context of salvation, like in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God." The word grace in this verse, though, does not refer to the grace of God that saves us. It refers to the grace of God that gifts us, that gifts us for his service. The gift of service. When the Bible says that unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ, it simply means that the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, has given each of us some gift or gifts of grace. And these gifts are his enabling ministry. That is the grace of God that enables you. when he saves us. The Lord Jesus Christ takes up residence in the new believer through the person of his Holy Spirit. When the Spirit comes into a life, one of the ministries that he performs is to give the new believer one or more spiritual gifts. These gifts determine what the believer's place will be in the body. As I said, some are toes, some are fingers, some are elbows, some are legs, some are arms. Each one of us have been given gifts. You see this in numerous places in Scripture, different gifts given to the people of God. You see it in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 27. I'll give you that cross reference. You can study it on your own. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 27. But for time's sake, I'd like to look at Romans 12, where it speaks of gifts also. Romans 12, beginning at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. See, he's gifted each one of us. Don't think more highly of yourself. The toe is not greater than the finger, or the finger than the elbow, or the leg than the back, or the chest than the stomach. Not one is greater than the other. For as we have many members, notice, many members in one body, you see, there's the unity. But all the members do not have the same function. You see the diversity? You have the unity in one body, but all don't have the same function. You see the diversity. So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. You see how important it is, brothers and sisters, for each and every one of us to exercise the gifts that have been given us? Because it said, to each one a measure of faith has been given, a gift has been given to each one of us. So then we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. That's what we have in our text today in Ephesians. Let us use them. If prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We see different gifts used to edify the body of Christ. The primary truth to notice here is that you are an individual and you have been uniquely gifted to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. When he saved you, he gave you gifts that you may share with other believers. By the way, the Lord uses you to exercise those gifts. He will exercise those gifts that are unique to you. That is, you may preach publicly, but your preaching will be unique to your personality. You may teach women. You may teach children. You may teach others in classes. But someone will be blessed by you. And no matter if you speak or teach or minister or give or exhort or lead or show mercy with cheerfulness or whatever it is that you do in the body of Christ, one is not greater than the other. And one is just as necessary as the other. Just as in the body, every part of the body is necessary. A physical body, every part of your body is necessary. You lose one of your fingers, you see how important a finger is. You lose one of them toes, you see how important it is. Well, never mind if you lose some limb, how important that is. But you must remember no matter what your gift is, especially in this day, of celebrities. We have celebrity entertainers and movie stars, and unfortunately in the church we have celebrity preachers. And people somehow think that that's the thing, that's the important thing. A teacher in the Church of Jesus Christ, he's only a chef. He's to put together the meal and bring it out to the body of Christ. And that's it, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry so that each and every one of us function as we should. Let us never forget 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. That's the Apostle Paul speaking. He labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, it was the grace of God. He was gifted to do a certain work. Paul said he was the least of the saints, chief of sinners. We need to discover our gifts and allow the Lord to develop them to their greatest potential. And by the way, the best way to find your spiritual gift is to be involved in a local gathering of believers and get busy serving the Lord. You don't know what your gift is, you get around the brethren. Your brothers and sisters will point your gift out to you. They'll let you know what your gift is. If you're not quite sure what it is, you have to be involved with the body of Christ. You have to be part of a fellowship. And you can get busy serving the Lord. And as you faithfully serve him, he'll open doors of service for you that will fit perfectly with the gifts that he has given you in grace. So our differences, our diversities are rooted in the grace of God. We all saved the same way. We all are indwelled by the same Spirit. And yet we're all uniquely equipped for his service by his grace. If you would be listening today, my friend, and you've never come to Jesus Christ, and you have no understanding what I'm talking about, what gifts each one of us have been gifted, we're all a part of the body of Christ, and on and on and on, the thing you need to do today is to get saved. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins, you become a child of God. Come to Christ today for salvation. Come to Christ today to see what your gifts in the Lord would be. Let us not forget that each and every one of us have been gifted. Now it's time to exercise that gift. And if you don't know what your gift is, simply ask your brothers and sisters that are around you. What do they think your gift is? And they'll be more than happy to tell you. And on that note, Father, we thank you that you have saved us, that you have gifted us. And we lift up our loved ones to you, our neighbors, our co-workers, that you would save many of them. That you would bring many of them to Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that you have gifted each and every believer in the body of Christ. And we thank you for bringing us into the body of Christ.